From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the seventh day of November 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson. Chad Colby will join us from Colby Ag Tech to take a all-seeing view at what the future of agriculture might hold in the way of technology, and things are changing very quickly. I'll tell you that he's going to tell you to update your iPad to the iPad Pro. I've seen that device. I follow it. I think you should as well. We don't get paid by Apple, but hey, that's just a couple of us that are techies that think that's something you might want to do. And during the end of our program today, we'll discuss the weather forecast. The meteorologists use a lot of technology, and Drew Lerner will be here from World Weather Incorporated on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Hey, have you bought those tickets yet for the Farm Assets Conference? Sure hope so. If not, online at willag.org, farmassetsconference.com, or 800-868-1068. To purchase your tickets, you can do that today. They're just $40. Do it right now, and thank you so much. We've got a great lineup for you. Looking forward to having you in Normal, Illinois, the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. We're now joined by Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson to discuss what's been happening in Chicago for the day. Hey, Jackie, how did the marketplace react after the election last night, and what are we doing there in Chicago for the day?
Not the prettiest day in the world on the grain side of things, although we're not down significantly. We were down, you know, just a couple in corn and 4 to 5 in beans, and so, you know, it's kind of a non-event in some ways, and I think it makes sense because we have so much negative built into the market already. The market is just trying to digest, and of course we have the USDA report coming out tomorrow, so you would expect that this is just kind of a squaring day where people are getting themselves prepared for whatever might happen tomorrow.
So tell me about what the expectations for tomorrow's crop production WASDE figures might be.
Well, they're expecting actually to see the corn crop go down about 57 million bushels. They're expecting the yield to go down by 7/10 from 180.7 down to 180. These are average guesses. Also, a slight drop both in harvested area for corn and beans. Bean production, they're expecting to actually go down just by 14 million bushels, and soy yields to go down by 2/10 of a bushel. Now, you know, I don't know if it's realistic to think this or not. You know, I can see the change in harvested acres because of the rain, you know, that we've the heavy rains we've had. But whether they'll be that quick to make those changes, I'm not really sure. When you look at the carryout numbers, they expect wheat to go up by 2 million bushels, corn to go down by 40 million bushels, which I can believe in a lot of ways, and soybeans to actually go up to up 14 million, putting it at 898 million bushels. I honestly, in my lifetime, never thought I'd see something like that. At the world level, wheat is expected to go down slightly, corn down slightly, and beans up not quite a million metric tons. When you look at the outside markets in terms of the world, they're expecting Argentina wheat is going to be higher than it was last year, a little lower on Australian wheat, Canadian, a little lower, Russian, much higher by about 15 million metric tons, actually. Argentinian corn higher. When we look at Brazil corn, higher. South African corn, higher. You know, it kind of rings true now, except for China. Well, China is expected to be higher, too, than what it was, about 10 million metric tons. Ukrainian corn, higher. And so you look at Argentina soybeans, you would expect to be higher because they had such a bad drought this year. And Brazilian soy, another record is what's expected. So, you know, we'll see once what actually comes out.
Sometimes these offer an opportunity day of sort of thing, but really it's what happens 2 weeks afterwards that matters long term for the producer and the hedger. You always go back and take a look historically at these and give us some kind of range. And the November, is there a set of numbers you have to share with us?
I do. The day of the report, basically, this is averaging over the last 17 years, when corn has been down at 6 cents down, 5 cents up, beans down 14 or up 23. Now, that puts corn really in the middle of the pack from the positive and negative side of reports. Beans are the least likely to be positive on this report of any report. 2 weeks later, we've seen corn either down 20 or up 6. And here's a scary one. Beans down 51 or up 25. So this is a report that definitely sets the tone. Now, we'll see with this year. You know, we've already had a lot of advanced information in terms of the size of the crop and everything. So it's going to be interesting when it comes out. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, let's stay kind of in this vein with beans and turn our attention to South America. How is their planting season progressing from your perspective?
Wow. Yeah, wow is the big word, Todd. I'm telling you, planting is just keeps going at a record pace. There's a few places that have had some heavy rains, but some of those places are already planted. So what the big implication is now is that, you know, Safrina corn follows beans down there, and Safrina corn represents 70% of what they produce. And it looks like right now that, you know, that's going to be planted within the ideal window for the highest yields, and that's getting it done before February 20th. So it's just amazing. Their weather has been absolutely perfect. And then if they get that El Nino during the summer, this could be quite a year. There could be higher numbers than what I just gave you for South America.
You've had some time to think about what the impact of the Brazilian election might be on agriculture. It seems to me that this may be a global function. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, well, Bolsonaro won, just like we expected him to. You know, now it's going to come down to whether he's able to follow through on all his campaign promises. You know, he is someone who is very agriculturally minded. Does not like all of the environmental rules that they have down there at this point in time. I guess the question is going to be is how long will it take him to get it done? And you know, their economy is in such a disastrous mess that, you know, I don't know what he's going to put first on the agenda, to be truthful, because he's got so many things that need to be taken care of.
One of the other items out of Brazil that we've been watching, because it just makes a big difference, is how much it costs to ship soybeans out of the country. Have you explored that topic?
Well, yes, and it's another thing that is definitely concerning to the farmers. You know, the Supreme Court has done three different public opinion things on this particular issue, but they still haven't issued any rulings at all. So as of today, you know, the freight rates are there and they're higher. They're probably not constitutional according to what they say, but in central Mato Grosso right now, freight rates are 22% higher than the five-year average. In other words, they're $2.62 a bushel to ship beans.
This is just the internal domestic price to get beans from the middle of the country to a port.
To a port. That's exactly right. You know, and so this is just a horrific situation for them to be in. In other words, you know, even though they're getting this higher price because of the fact that China's been buying a lot of their beans, they're really not coming ahead on it with these rules. And so farmers aren't selling like normal, and commercial companies aren't writing contracts either because, you know, they just don't know where they're going to be in terms of what happens until the Supreme Court finally rules. So this is going to be an issue that's going to dog them, I think, on into the new year probably, because nothing seems to move very fast down there.
And finally, export inspections here in the United States. How are we holding up, and what's your assessment?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think when we look at the report tomorrow, I'll be surprised perhaps if USDA doesn't actually increase our exports on corn. We're 78% ahead of last year right now, and you know they've actually been saying we're going to have a 1% decrease year over year. So again, I'll keep saying it's front loading. I think that that's what we're seeing, but we'll probably get a good idea of what the USDA thinks if they don't change the export numbers. Wheat is down 22% compared to a year ago. USDA is saying 14% increase for them, and beans are 43% behind a year ago when we were front-loading on those, and USDA is seeing a 3% decrease year over year. So I think tomorrow's report will give us a better picture, perhaps, especially on corn, as to what the USDA is actually thinking.
Hey, Jackie, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd. You have a great day.
Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Quick reminder, buy those tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. It's coming up the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving in Normal, Illinois. One of the things that we'll discuss that day, and you've heard me talk about it quite a bit over the last couple of weeks, is how things might change in agriculture over the next decade or so as it relates to how data is collected. and moves through the supply chain system. Anheuser-Busch and McDonald's will be there to discuss what they're thinking. Of course, the CME Group, Cargill, ADM, Bunge have all looked at blockchain, and we might discuss some of that as well. But we'll take up really what that contract might look like for the producer and the characteristics that these companies would like to have in hand when a commodity shows up. And I'm not talking about a specialty commodity in actuality, just a plain old commodity that they're hoping that they can get some different characteristics out of that. One of the things that will need to happen if this is going to take place is that producers will need to adopt some real technology. Chad Colby is one of the leading technologists in the country. He speaks many places. He's from right here in Champaign County. Of course, it's with me at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention today in Kansas City. He heads up Colby Ag Tech. Chad, thanks so much for being with us. I know producers probably have seen something from you. I can't imagine that they haven't. At some point, most likely related to drones, but you look at all sorts of ag technology. What do you see in the next year that producers need to adapt into their technology farm production system today?
Well, I think that, you know, you got to always start with the basics. You know, it's, you learn that growing up. And I think when you start talking about technology with farmers, you can't skip the basics. And what I mean by that is, you know, if your phone's 3 years old, you need to go buy a new phone. And after you buy the new phone and use it for a day, you'll go, wow, I wish somebody would have told me to buy a new phone. This was the best $500 I've spent in years. Okay, I won't do that again. And your tablets are that way. So make sure your smart devices are current. And the reason why I really bring that to your attention is there's so many companies that have apps and systems to run on your smart devices, but if your device is 2 or 3 years old, that ain't going to work very well, Todd. And I think that's the first step. But technology is coming at us so fast. Apple just rolled out a new iPad. It's actually public today, I believe. I think I have a package arriving, actually. And the new one is faster than the MacBooks from 2 years ago.
Yes, this iPad Pro is just, I watch every piece of technology that comes out. I watch that whole hour and a half long production, and they spent a lot of time with the iPad Pro. It is not your old iPad Pro, that's for darn sure.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. So, but you know, it's a challenge for farmers, and producers know that today because it's the speed of the technology. You know, a lot of people might think, well, I just won't buy that iPad, Todd. I'll just wait for the next one. Well, if you keep doing that, the train's going to pass you by because there'll be another new one in 12 or 18 months, and the chain keeps going. And especially on a farm, you can justify that. But, you know, as far as big picture stuff, you know, the OEMs in the industry, whichever color machinery you're on, there's a lot of application right now in artificial intelligence and machine learning. And what that means, and that piece of machinery going through the field, and whether that's your planter, is really going to be focusing now on making decisions in real time. Hey, I'm coming in a wet spot in the field or a dry spot in the field. Do I want to adjust my fertility in real time or my seeding rates? Independent from a prescription, it's getting the data in real time from the field, and obviously in the harvesting process as well, where our combine has the ability to make decisions in real time and just does it on its own. And I think that's what you're going to see. And then there's going to be some other new sensors coming too, more than just drones and airplanes. You're going to see some sensors go into the soil too and give us real time data from the soil. And there's some companies already starting to make a dent on that, and that's probably 2 or 3 years out, but it's pretty exciting.
So you used a word, prescription, and we've started to hear that just a bit, prescription agriculture as opposed to precision agriculture, both kind of the same. So I've got a question for you about this. The data collected from the farm to this point has not been able to vary those products going on the farm in enough capacity to pay for the technology that can vary those particular products. Have we gotten there yet? Can you actually vary the application of, I don't know, seeding rates or nitrogen rates or herbicide rates or fungicide rates in order to pay for that technology?
Well, that's the thing with technology today. And there's a, you know, I've been asked quite a bit out here at this conference, you know, Chad, with the ag economy in the state that it is, do you see the manufacturers of equipment backing off? And you make a good point because the technology today almost has to carry its own weight. So I was with a producer yesterday, actually, and the producer is a seedsman, had a soybean treater. And he was talking about all the different treatments that they put on their soybeans. And I made the statement. I said, well, what's the threshold? And he said, really, 3-to-1. He said, if you can't get 3 times the return on the treatment, then you shouldn't do it. And he showed me the data on some products that they were using where, he spent basically 2 bushel an acre in soybeans for the treatment, but he gained between 5 and 8 bushel. And he said, that's a good use of technology, which I completely agree. So I would encourage farmers, whichever bit of technology you're going to go down, make sure the return is there. And there's a lot of great places, a lot of great resources online to go and get the data to do that. But, you got to find the weak link on your farm. That's always the case today. Find that weak link on your farm and then pour a little money to it and fix it.
Hey, one final question before you go. We talked about the iPad Pro up front. What are producers going to use that for in the farming operation?
Well, everything. You can do all your banking. You can have it mounted in your cab, not to just watch movies, right? So a lot of producers today are taking care of their seeding, and they have it in there with harvesting. All their data maps, all that fun stuff goes on that device. And it's just as thin as an iPad from 5 years ago, except probably 20 times faster.
Thanks so much.
You're more than welcome.
That's Chad Colby. He's with Colby Ag Tech out of Rantoul, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Hey, one quick agricultural news story for the day. Last night during his victory speech, Republican Congressman Rodney Davis of Taylorville, Illinois, that's the 13th district in the state, reached across the aisle to point out where the Trump administration is likely to focus its attention now that the House of Representatives will be under the control of Democrats.
This is an opportunity for us to hopefully put some good bipartisan legislation on the floor of the House and see and hope that we can move good policies forward that the Trump administration has asked us to work with them on. Let's first start with infrastructure. Investing in infrastructure in this country is only going to help states like Illinois and communities like I'm standing in right now here in Taylorville. Those are issues that we ought to see bipartisanship on.
High on the list for infrastructure upgrades should be the lock and dam system on the Illinois and Mississippi rivers, which provide for the export of agricultural commodities, of course, like corn and soybeans. Davis is also hopeful a new farm bill can be passed, though it now seems unlikely that legislation will include the SNAP program work provisions of the Republican-led House. Those provisions are not included in the Senate version of the bill, and this stumbling block to the passage may have been voted out of existence with the midterm election. We'll check in with Jonathan Kappas to try to learn more about that. He's with the University of Illinois. We'll talk with him later this afternoon and likely hear that tomorrow during our closing market report. Hey, don't forget to buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. That's coming up on the 20th day of November, the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. We've got a great show scheduled for you, and if you've not put those tickets on your list of things you want just yet, you can go get them right now at 800-898-1068, or you can buy them online at farmassetsconference.com, willag.org. The $40 buys you the whole day's event, including the parking in the deck, the noon meal, and everything that's happening at the Farm Assets Conference. In fact, I think you should come a little early. We kick off at 9:30 with our conference, but the Illinois Corn Growers Association's annual meeting starts at 8 a.m., and they serve breakfast for free. You can come and visit with them in the morning for about an hour, hour and a half, walk out of their conference. It's immediately adjacent or in the room next to the Farm Assets Conference. Sign in to the Farm Assets Conference, and then we'll run the whole day. We'll have Anheuser-Busch and McDonald's there. We'll take a look at the future of agriculture. We'll talk about farm management, farm policy, the price of farmland as well. The Farm Assets Conference cost is just $40. And if you've not signed up yet, you should do it right now today. Don't wait. FarmAssetsConference.com, willag.org, 800-898-1065. When we come back, we'll talk with Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is now here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Thanks, Drew, for being with us. Looks like there'll be some cold weather as it relates to agriculture, especially for the establishment of wheat across the nation. Can you tell me about that, please?
Yeah, there is a very strong cold air mass working its way southward through the middle of the country right now. And indeed, we are going to see a big change in the heart of the Midwest and even into the central and southern plains, parts of the Delta and Southeast. All these areas are going to experience some unusually early, bitter cold conditions. And it looks like those temperatures will plummet down to the lowest levels we've seen in, since last winter, I think, in quite a few areas. This morning, the temperature was already down to plus 3 degrees Fahrenheit at Headinger, North Dakota, and a lot of other areas in the single digits being reported in Montana. And it looks as though as we go forward these next few days, Friday morning and next Tuesday morning will probably be the coldest days. And we are a little bit concerned about some of that wheat crop, as you mentioned, whether or not we're going to get it to emerge and establish adequately before going into dormancy. The concern is that there'll be enough cold days coming up here that a lot of the crop is going to be pushed into semi-dormancy. The good news is that we will warm up in the period from the 20th through the 27th of November. We should get our temperatures back up far enough above average that will stimulate some new crop development. It looks like the unplanted acreage across the Midwest and the Central Plains will not likely get planted right away, but as we go forward into the latter part of this month, we'll probably have enough good weather to get into some of those fields.
How do you suppose farmers that need to finish up corn harvest will proceed over the next several days?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be a little bit of a challenge out there in these last weeks of the harvest season. Conditions, of course, are going to be cold here over the next 7 to 10 days. We are not going to see a lot of precipitation except from the eastern Dakotas into Michigan. Those areas are going to be way too wet. But areas to the south only have really one storm system to deal with, and then we go into the deep freeze. And I think when we come out of it, we'll have a period of about 5 days of nice, warm, dry weather for harvest progress. But then it's going to start raining again, and so it's going to be very important that we take full advantage of that little break in the action, so to speak.
Finally, turn your attention to South America for me.
The outlook down in Argentina, Brazil has been just absolutely fabulous most of the season so far, and the trend is going to continue. Southern Brazil will have a period of dry weather for the next several days and then get rain next week, and so they'll stay very adequately moist. Up in the northern part of Brazil, maybe a little too much rain in Goiás, where there may have to be a little replanting, but that's only a small area that's going to be impacted. And in Argentina, we're going to see a good mix as well. Probably the biggest threat in Argentina is probably going to be a risk of severe thunderstorms, producing hail and damaging winds, some local flooding as we go from Friday into Monday.
Hey, thanks so much, Drew.
Have a great day.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.